It's your weekly appointment with Dr. Raymond Hamdan, clinical and forensic psychologist based at the Human Relations Institute. He's on call via SMS this morning to offer guidance and advice. If you're facing any emotional issues, maybe you're suffering from anxiety or behavioural issues, mood swings, things that are affecting your relationships. Now, we've started off talking about losing one's temper, why that might happen, how can we rein it in, how can we manage that temper, get a handle on it, and have a sort of happier life, really. And we've been talking earlier, just before the break there, with Dr. Raymond about an example of a woman married, 45-year-old husband, two children in their teens that are showing signs of temper tantrums that they've got from their father, that they are really mimicking off from their father. We're talking about that quite extensively just before the news. And EH has texted in and said, I'll tell this lady how her children will feel in 10 years. She can call me, in fact. I suffered watching my father abuse my mother morally and physically. I will always wonder what my life would have been if she had the courage to leave him.
I wouldn't know what to say after that. That was very beautifully worded, and even though it's words on a page, it has so much emotion. And that in itself is an indicator of the damage that can be irreversible when people don't take the opportunity to reverse it. The fact is, we cannot change history, but we can correct it. And we correct it through the way that we learn about our role and that we were not responsible for this. Because remember that children before the age of 8 or 9 years old don't know how to separate themselves from their mother and father. So what's going on between mom and dad is going to significantly impact them, because when that triangle of the father, the mother, and the child are one, the child is responsible psychologically, they would believe. So if that's not resolved and somebody doesn't take the opportunity to say, by the way, this is not your fault, you didn't do anything wrong, they'll grow up with that kind of a negative impact that can last for a very long time. It's working the inner child, enable that inner child to reinterpret that history that no one took the time to even think that that child may have been feeling. So that's one way to do it. And also another way to do it is that when helping other people who go through similar situations is helping yourself as well, just as this kind person is willing to talk to this family to let them know that it isn't their fault, to let them know what she's been through and how to remedy it. Many times we do see situations where people have suffered history that lasts forever, and it's impossible not to deal with history. But there are many situations where you don't have to deal with history, when it's just a technical situation that just needs to get fine-tuned. But in these scenarios where there's been that dysfunctional history, where children have been raised in an environment where they're afraid of being rejected, abandoned, or neglected because of parental problems, because of one parent behaving very, very aggressively and violently, or even the silent treatment. And silent treatment is the loudest aggressive scream you could ever have. A lot of people think, well, I'm not going to talk to them to teach them. Well, that doesn't teach them. That just frightens a little child. That the person that's supposed to love them and protect them and share with them and provide for them and nourish them and bond them isn't doing it. So the silent treatment is a very loud scream. Unresolved issues between the parents is also destructive to children, because what happens as they grow up, they remember that the two most significant people in their life didn't resolve problems. So if a problem comes up, just don't talk to each other, get a divorce, or do those other immature, irresponsible kinds of things. Children learn from the parent more than they'll ever learn from a psychologist. What you do with your children is going to have an effect on them forever. And it is so important that people recognize the responsibility of being mature. It's not about you. It's about helping your children. And sometimes helping your children is a way of helping yourself.
Mm. Well, some would say, isn't it just part of, you know, human behaviour? You know, it can't all be rosy all of the time, and you have to see the flaws in the parent or in the individual. So, for example, a scenario, driving in the car, it's a hot day, frustrated, maybe running late, the kids are in the back, they get cut up on the Shakeside Road, and you make a gesture or you lose your temper in the car for a moment, a split second, a moment, your temper rages, and then it calms down again. Isn't that part of a normal behaviour? These things happen. If in that scenario, how would you resolve that or reconcile that with the children sitting in the back that have just witnessed you losing your temper?
There's nothing wrong with being angry. It's what you do with the anger that's right or wrong. In those situations, you can say to the child, "I'm sorry, my behavior was inappropriate. I should not have gotten so angry." Or you can say to the child, "This situation is very difficult because I want to make sure I get you to school on time, and now I've missed the turn because these other cars, the way they were driving, or the construction of the new road has caused me to not get to the right place to get you to school on time," and you end up in another one of the Emirates before you have to backtrack. And of course, I'm exaggerating. Not really, that actually happened a few years ago. When there was a lot
of
road construction.
We've all been there, actually. Yeah.
Let's turn off the mic and be honest here. But the fact is, these kind of things do happen. And the joke becomes, the children say, "Oh yeah, Dad or Mom apologized 3 times for saying bad words." You know? So the joke is, they had to apologize 3 times. "I shouldn't have done that." And then they go right back into a rage because they're so upset about missing the turn or not getting to where they need to be on time. Apologizing, putting things right, is very important for the children so that the children don't feel uncomfortable or frightened. When the driver of the car, especially a parent, is angry, that is very frightening to the child. That means that their world is out of control now. Because remember, Mom and Dad are the world to that little child. And if Mom and Dad are angry, they get worried about, are Mom and Dad going to be driving safely? Are we going to get hit by a car? And usually when people get angry, the accelerator goes down. It doesn't mean that they're going to put the brakes on, pull over to the side, and pray, or meditate, or do yoga, or hypnosis, or biofeedback. What they're going to do is they're going to be more angry, and there's an acceleration of the vehicle. So what you're going to see is children are very, very nervous. It may even be that the child might start crying. It might be that the child is scared that Mom and Dad are going to lose control, not knowing that they're going to calm down. And if Mom and Dad don't know that that child has their own style of thinking and respectfully needs to be told, "I'm okay, we're fine, yes, I did lose control, but I'm okay now," the child will continue always nervous about what Mom and Dad might do next. So rather than looking at Mom and Dad get angry, but they calm down very quickly and we can laugh about it later, they're always nervous, when is the next bad thing going to happen? So being able to acknowledge that you've done something that was incorrect or inappropriate in its response, apologizing to the children and letting them know it wasn't their fault, everything's under control, and you're okay to get them wherever the family's going safely, is certainly going to be a major factor in their lives.
Well, here's an individual who certainly is nervous or worried about what their husband's going to say or do next. "I've been married for 10 years to my husband, and when I tell him how I feel, he blames me and things usually get nasty and he becomes verbally abusive towards me. If I raise the matter a few days later, again, he might be nasty. He never apologizes. It may take us months before things get back to normal after such an incident. I have 10 years of this and I'm now so cautious to not trigger his anger." So again, the idea of treading on eggshells around your husband or your wife. This person says, "I don't see any light and it's affecting me and my son."
Many times people will grow up in a home where they're not allowed to make mistakes. They're ridiculed, especially when people are brought up in a home where there's a lot of negative reinforcement. Like, "Don't you dare do this that way. Don't you dare criticize me." What they learn is they can never, ever be second place. They have to be the best at what they do. So they put a lot of pressure on themselves that they can never be wrong. Because if they're wrong, just like Mom and Dad in the past rejected them, their spouse will reject them now. So they always have to be right at any expense. even the expense of the spouses. What they also, in this insecurity, will realize is that when people behave in such a way, it's very destructive, but they don't see it because it's more important for them to be right. Blaming others is usually a projection. So whenever somebody actually blames you, one of the best things that you can actually do is say, well, it may be my fault, and I'm really looking forward to you showing me how to do it better. What that does is gently puts it back to them. But the fact is, you shouldn't have to be somebody's psychologist when you're married to them. Your job is to be a spouse, any more than your children need to be your psychologist when you two are in conflict and your child has to be the gatekeeper. Families should be families, and each role should be quite distinct, not taking on the physician role or the doctor role to make sure everybody else is healed or resolving a lot of their conflicts. So in these kind of situations, it's very, very upsetting to be in a situation where what you have learned is to agree with the person even when they're wrong, then put up with their wrath for having disagreed. That is not a marriage. It's not a healthy atmosphere. It can be very destructive. Now, that person needs to also recognize that what they're doing is quite destructive. Unfortunately, some people who go through that histrionic kind of behavior may never seek help until they've hit rock bottom. Rock bottom means that they have to actually realize that they've lost their family, lost you as a partner, lost their children who don't want to be with them anymore, except sporadically, and it might be too late to recover from that, but it may force them to change. There are ways, of course, to deal with this. You can actually tell that person that their behavior is no longer accepted, but you have to be consistent in not accepting it. So when that person begins to attack, you can shut them off by saying, this kind of behavior is inappropriate and I won't accept it. When you calm down, we can continue the conversation. If they pursue it, you may have to walk out of the situation, giving them a chance to recognize that you're not coming back. But if that person yells at you and says, come back here right now, and you do, then what you've done is you've fallen back into the same histrionic trap. So there are ways to deal with this from both ends. One, that person has to take responsibility and realize that they have to make some changes, and that's not your responsibility to force them into it, but you can influence it. But you also have an opportunity to realize that you don't have to fall into that game, which is actually what it is. Now, I'm not talking about a political game. I'm talking about a psychological dynamics that can be quite devastating when you think you don't have any other options, because those kind of individuals will convince you after a period of time, you're not going to be as loved by anyone more than me. You can never have what you have with anybody else more than you have with me. So they keep drilling that in, and after a while it becomes almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy where you actually think you can't have anything better. It's time to rethink where you've been, what you're doing today, and what is the direction you want to take for yourself and those who you love in the same family.